Italian Wine Podcast. Cin Cin with Italian Wine People.
This podcast is brought to you by Native Grape Odyssey. Native Grape Odyssey is an educational project financed by the European Union to promote European wine in Canada, Japan, and Russia. Enjoy. It's from Europe.
That's the ghost of Antinori behind. But luckily, we have a real proper winemaker here today. This is the Italian Wine Podcast. My name is Monty Wood, and my guest today is Marco Ferraresi. Yes. Marco is basically every man, does all the work at Antinori's Guado Altasso estate in Bolgheri, in the Maremma, on the Tuscan coast. Welcome.
Welcome.
Okay, so let's get straight into it. Tell me a little bit about the history of the Guado Altasso, the estate. When was it planted and which grape varieties do you have?
Okay, the history of Guado Altasso started in 1919, with the first vintage of Guado Altasso. But the estate, Antinori family, arrived in this estate after a marriage between Niccolò Antinori and Carlotta della Gherardesca in the 30th century.
Maybe in which century? Marco's wife is here.
In the 30s.
Okay, a little bit of detail. So there's a husband and wife who both work for the estate. Just come and say hello. Come on.
No,
come and say hello properly. Just introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Luisa Foschetti, and I work here as a hospitality manager, and I'm also Marco's wife.
You say that a little bit more enthusiastically.
Oh, yes.
I love working for Antinori.
Yes,
my husband
indeed.
Is fantastic.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, I'm doing this since 14 and a half years, so, definitely I love my job. I love what I do, and I love who's working with me as well.
Okay, so you basically do everything here. Mm-hmm. In terms of the vineyard. So just describe a little bit where the vineyards are. How far away from the sea? Is it flat? Is it hilly?
Okay, the estate is mainly between the hills of Bolgheri area, and the hills called Amphitheatro Bolgherese. So the estate are divided in three blocks. The biggest one is in the middle of the amphitheater. In the center, we are in the center of the DOC Bolgheri. In this position, we have more than 200 hectares, and we have another important blocks in the north part and another one in the south part. So
in the north, is it more hillier? Is it more flatter? Is it further
it's
from
more,
the sea?
More hillier. The vineyards are between 5 to 8 kilometers far from the sea.
Okay.
The soil change a lot from west to east, so from the hills to the sea. And this is one of the important characteristic of Bolgheri, that in this area you can make red wine, important red wine, and white wine, depend of the composition of the soil and position of the vineyard.
So what about in the south? You said you had vineyards as well in the south.
Yes, in the south we have vineyards. In that area we have mainly red grapes, Syrah, Merlot, and a small quantity of Vermentino. In that area the soil are silky and good drainage. We have wine basically for Il Bruciato and also for Guado Altasso, depending on the harvest, the vintage.
Okay, so you have silty soils in the southern part. The main body of the vineyard where the winery is, roughly what are the main soil types? Is it clay, silty?
It's a mix of clay and sandy.
Okay, and then in the north?
In the north also we have clay and sandy, and the soil are more brown, rich also in organic elements. Very good to make strong red wine.
Is it to do with iron, ferro?
Yes, there are also places with a good concentration of iron. In the south and also in the central part of the state, near the forest called Bruciato Forest.
Okay, we'll come on to you have a wine called Bruciato, that means burnt, by the way, in Italian. We'll come on to the wines in a minute. So, in terms of ripening, when you start your harvest, you have lots of different grape varieties. What do you always start with? Which is the first variety that you always pick?
We always start with the Merlot, and also we start with our rosé wine. Our rosé wine is born in the vineyards, so we have vineyards grow to make this wine.
So specifically for rosé?
Yeah, specifically for rosé.
So what difference is if you have a Merlot vineyard, one of them is for red, most of your Merlot vineyards are for red, you have a little bit for the rosé. What is different about your working of those vineyards, of pruning or trimming?
The biggest characteristic is the position of the vineyard and the composition of the soil. So to make rosé wine, we prefer sandy soil, but also we change how we work in the vineyards. For example, the pruning for red wine is mainly Cordon Spur. To make rosé is Guyot system.
Okay, so and why is that?
Because we have a different level of ripening between the bunches and more production with Guyot. This is good to make rosé wine because in rosé wine you don't have a high level of tannins in the skin. It's better if you have less. And what is important is the acidity and the freshness of the grapes.
So it's a pretty good technique though, isn't it? You're letting the natural expression of the vineyard go through the Merlot.
Yes.
So we don't want lots of huge amounts of colour. We don't want really lots of alcohol. We want freshness, a little bit of colour, and it's easier for us to make the rosé.
Exactly.
So what's the rosato called? Does it have a name?
Scalabrone.
And what is a scalabrone?
Scalabrone is
a sounds like
story.
A rude word. If I'm in a bar and we look at it, you say, hey, you're a scalabrone.
Scalabrone was a bandit.
Oh, there you go.
That lives here. So
he lives here?
Yes, absolutely.
No, in this building?
The address of this place is Scalabrone.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, so where was he a bandit? Yeah. What, 18th century, 19th century?
Yes, 18th century. It was like a Robin Hood of Maremma.
Okay, so he stole from the rich and gave to the poor.
Yeah, exactly.
So tell me a little bit about Scalabrone.
Scalabrone
the blend?
Is a blend of Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot and Syrah. And we have vineyards specifically grow for and manage for this wine. The grapes come from mainly sandy soil. So the vineyards are in a condition that you have in the grapes, you have more concentration of aroma than instead the tannins. Tannins is not important in a rosé wine. So from sandy soil, it's a good position to make rosé wine.
Yeah, you get lighter tannins and lighter colours.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
And so when you're making that, do you pick each variety separately and ferment them separately, or do you ferment some together?
Yes, we pick up separately everything, every single variety.
And do you do like a Salasso, a bleeding or not, or do you ferment?
No, because from Salasso comes from red wine, so you have an alcohol level completely too high to make a rosé wine. So we started with Merlot and immediately later Syrah, just when we have 11.5-12 degrees we started.
So it's underripe. It's underripe for red wine, but it's perfect for rosato.
For rosé, yes, for rosato. And also in the end we pick up Cabernet Sauvignon, but we are in the end of August. So every year we start with this vintage.
So end of August. End of August means really quite early, just for people that don't know. It's picked early, it's deliberately picked early, a little bit underripe, pressed, not too much colour.
Not too much colour. We have to be, it's like a white wine vinification, so like a Vermentino vinification, you have to preserve all the aromatic profile of the grapes, come from the grapes, so you have to be quickly to transfer the grapes to the cellar, and you have to be very gently during the pressing process,
yeah.
Because we don't want tannins in the wine, but we want flavors.
What about lees aging? Do you like letting the rosato stay on its fine lees a little bit, or is that too?
No, in this kind of wine, no, because you can lose flavors. So we use these techniques, this process to make Vermentino, but in part.
So you don't want to cover those primary flavors with yeasty characters.
Yes.
For the rosato.
Exactly.
Okay, let's talk about the white wine Vermentino.
Vermentino, the vineyards of Vermentino. Vermentino is mainly like Scalabrone in sandy soil. For us, Vermentino was a kind of variety with quite a late ripening. So we started after Merlot, we started in the middle of September, and it's an important variety for us, an important wine. We want to preserve in this wine all the freshness, the acidity, and this is why we pick up the grapes earlier. And we fermented this wine in stainless steel tanks to preserve the freshness of the variety. And the result is a wine with a medium level of alcohol, easy to drink also in the hot summer that we have normally in this place, but with a good expression of the aromatic profile and minerality. Minerality is characteristic. The wine seems salty, and this is a characteristic that comes from the soil.
Do you do anything, like you explained for the rosé, you specifically grow it in a certain place and in a certain way for the rosato. Do you do anything in terms of leaf trimming for Vermentino? Do you want lots of ripeness for that wine, or do you want it to be a little bit green tasting, really sort of crisp and crunchy?
Yes, we want preserved crispy, crunchy, but we also pick up some grapes, some parcel of inside the vineyards later to have more complexity in the mouth. So it's a blend of different style of Vermentino.
So definitely a blend of different ripeness levels.
Yes. Exactly.
And what do you drink that with at home, a Vermentino?
Oh, we drink...
Like aperitivo, or you have it with food? Or it's quite a full-bodied wine, right?
You can drink like aperitivo, absolutely, but also you can eat with... you can match Vermentino with fish, pasta, vegetable. It's absolutely...
Chicken.
Oh, lovely. Yes, absolutely.
So that was the Vermentino. One called Tenuta Guaralta, so and you have one called Camillo, is that right?
Camillo is a wine we make. Camillo is the oldest vineyards that we have of Vermentino. We have in the past, because now we will replant the vineyards.
And so when were they originally planted then, the Camillo Vermentino? When was that originally planted?
1995.
Okay.
And the first vintage of Vermentino was 1996, very small production, but the Camillo represent the first vineyards of Vermentino that we have in the state. So the project started from that area.
So you're saying that when the estate was founded, Brantanori bought the estate, they didn't just want to make Vermentino, they knew they were also going to make red wines as well.
Absolutely, so, yes. Yeah. But in Vermentino, Marchese found a wonderful variety to make white wine in the coast. So he wanted to make also a white wine because we are near the coast. And also the DOC of Bulgari started with rosé and white wine. Now it's famous for red wine, but the origin was rosé, and the origin was rosé and white wine.
Yeah, the original denomination, yeah?
The original, denomination born with the rosé and white wine. The red arrived later.
Okay, tell me about what's your biggest production red wine?
Our biggest production is Il Bruciato wine.
So what's the story of it? Il Bruciato means the burnt one.
Yes, it's the name comes from a forest inside the state that was born in the 18th.
In the 1800s, it's a forest, little forest.
And near the forest, there is a vineyard. So that is the picture of the label of the wine. It's a picture, it's a photo of this old forest from the past.
And it caught fire in 100 and something years ago. People deliberately caused a fire in the forest. Why was that? Bruciato, they burnt it. The local people wanted to go hunting in the wood, and the guy that owned the wood was not very happy about that. And so to spite them, he set fire to the forest.
Yes.
Do you think I get a job as a... Could I be a tour guide here? If I get fired from the podcast, which you never know. Okay, so that's... And for the burnt wood rosé, the Bruciato Rosato, when you're at home, what do you drink that with?
A lot of wine, not only from Guadaltasso, but we like also drink wine abroad. But Il Bruciato is our wine you can drink every day.
Everyday wine, yeah.
And you can match with this wine also important food, because it's a wine with complexity.
With quite full body. Absolutely. Who cooks at home? Because you and your wife, you both work together here. I know you're the winemaker. Do you have to come home? You've been making wine all day long, and then you have to cook dinner?
We don't have a lot of time.
You don't have a lot of food.
But I cook at home. Okay. I like when I can.
See, winemaking during the day, come home, say hi to the kids, cook dinner. Marco's wine.
Glass of wine.
Next, Matarocchio. That's a red wine. Mm-hmm. Tell me about Matarocchio.
Matarocchio is a Cabernet Franc, 100%. Comes from a single vineyard, and it's our best expression of Cabernet Franc. The first vintage was 2007, and it was also 2007. We also changed the blend of Guadaltasso, so, and we introduced Cabernet Franc instead Syrah in the blend. So from that vineyards, we have a little more quantity of wine, and we wanted to bottle it separately because the expression of these grapes was wonderful, especially in terms of aromatic profile, not only in terms of complexity in the mouth. And we replicate this wine with this result in 2009, 2011. So we bottled from in the beginning from that vineyards only in the best vintage, a selection of the best barrique of Matarocchio of this Cabernet Franc.
How easy is it to work with Cabernet Franc during vinification? Is it an easy grape to ferment? ferment? Can it taste a little bit green? What are you doing during winemaking, or even in the vineyard, to make sure it's nice and clean and ripe tasting and not herbaceous?
In terms of tannins, I can say also it's quite easy, because in Cabernet Franc here in Bulgaria grow very well. So you have very, very often very sweet tannins. You can leave the skin in contact with juice for a long time, and you have always elegance and fineness in terms of tannins. What is difficult is all the rest. So you manage the aromatic profile. Sometimes we like to have green notes, but have to be grateful.
Just a little bit of herbaceousness. Yeah.
So you have to find a good period of time to have a good mix of green and ripe fruit. In that condition, you can have a very wonderful expression from this variety.
So you're tasting all through the fermentation every single day, and as soon as you test, the tannins are getting a little bit herbaceous.
This is always.
You run off.
And we also pick up the grapes in the vineyards in two or three different times, just because we test also a lot the grapes, the berries, just to understand whether the aromatic profile is ready to give us this complexity.
So is the Cabernet Franc also on slightly sandy soil?
The Cabernet Franc, no, comes from a soil with a good presence of also clay, sandy and stones.
Okay, so the clay part gives some firmer tannin, the sandy gives the aromas?
The sandy gives aroma and give oxygen and keep the soil drained, and also the minerality from the rocks give complexity probably to the wine. We don't know exactly why we obtain this result from that area, but this is the situation. No?
Conte Ugo
is another wine born with 2011, in 2011 vintage. It's a wine made only with Merlot. This Merlot comes from different vineyards, and it's a wine DOC Bulgari, and it's a wine that it's like a second label of the state, but made only with Merlot. Also important is wine, the aging period in barrique, 30% are new and 70% are barrique from second passage. This wine is from the first vintage. It's a wine that speaks another language than Guadaltasso, because it's not a blend of different varieties, but it's a blend of different vineyards, but only with Merlot. And Merlot is represent in Bulgari a very, very good expression of wine. So in our style, we want to maintain also the freshness of the that Merlot can have, and also more red fruit than red black fruit.
Okay, so you don't want it to be too overripe.
Exactly.
Okay, and so what about fermentation temperatures? Are you trying to ferment it a little bit cool?
We fermented part of Merlot a little bit cool, just to preserve the freshness, and also in part we fermented with temperature higher to emphasize the extraction, and we decide the blend after the alcohol fermentation to give balance in the wine.
Okay, so the wine that carries the name of the estate, Guadaltasso, what is a tasso?
Tasso is an animal, it's a badger.
A badger.
And it's the name of the place where we planted the first vineyards that give us Guadaltasso, the first vintage of Guadaltasso, born in Guadaltasso vineyards. It's a geographical name.
It's a local name for a bit of land with the vines.
Because in that near that vineyards there is a river, and normally this animal across this river.
So it's the badger's crossing point.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, and the wine is made from?
The wine is made from a blend of Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot and Cabernet Franc now. The origin there was Syrah, but from 2007 we introduced Cabernet Franc instead Syrah, just to give the wine more elegance. And every vineyards are picked up separately and fermented separately. After the alcoholic fermentation and the maceration, we put the wine separately in barrique, and we decide the blend after the malolactic fermentation in February.
Okay, so all the varieties are fermented apart.
Exactly.
They're aged apart in barrel, and for how long? For until the spring?
Yes, to February, so before the spring, because the malolactic fermentation, normally we have malolactic fermentation only between October to December.
So then the wine stays in barrel, it gets racked in spring, and then the blend is made and it goes back to barrel.
Exactly.
And what is obviously it's your flagship wine. Is that the one with the most concentration, the most complexity? What's its characteristic?
The concentration is quite important, and but probably more in the past than now. Concentration is also, I mean, quite easy to obtain here in Bulgaria. So it's not our goal. It's not what we want to find is finesse, the elegance in the wine. So we work to have this characteristic in the wine between the richness and the exuberant of the that comes from the terroir.
And what do you drink that with at home?
I like a big steak.
A big steak?
With Badaltas, absolutely. Or deer, wild boar.
Which you get a lot of here because it's very foresty, isn't it?
Yes.
So do you go hunting as well?
No, I eat. I you prefer eat. It.
Okay, so you cut out the middleman, basically. So when you grill a steak, how do you cook your steak? How's it done? If you're having it with the Badaltas or red wine, how are you cooking it?
I cook like Fiorentina.
Okay.
So
just a T-bone.
Yes.
So what you do it in a pan? You do it on a grill?
I do.
Padella or grillata?
I do in the pan.
Okay. So what are your tips, your secrets?
But
a little bit of salt on, a bit of olive oil on when it goes in the pan. Is the pan really hot? How do you do it?
The secret is...
we didn't get you on here to talk about wine, by the way. We just want to hear about your cooking skills.
The first secret is buy a good steak.
Yeah, that's just true. No, rule number one.
And don't cook too much.
Don't overcook it.
Yes.
Okay. So you like it like a little bit bloody, a little bit...
Yes, a little bit bloody, absolutely.
But not dried out.
Exactly.
Okay. Marco Ferraresi, if your career as a winemaker and vineyard manager and factotum at Guadalcanal doesn't work out, I can see a second career for you as a chef. And his wife is laughing. Just stifle the laughter. So I just say thanks to my guest, Marco Ferraresi, for being such a great guest on the Italian Wine Podcast, talking about Guadal Tasso, Antinori's estate in Bulgari. And you got to say goodbye in perfect English. Just put the pressure on.
Thank you, and ciao a tutti quanti.
There you go, that'll do. There we go. Goodbye to everyone.
This podcast has been brought to you by Native Grape Odyssey, discovering the true essence of high-quality wine from Europe. Find out more on nativegrapeodyssey.eu. Enjoy. It's from Europe.
Follow Italian Wine Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.